Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, good evening, good evening. This is Glenn Greenwich coming to you out of New York City. This is the International Black Summit talk show. And we've also got Miss Henrietta Bird out of Chi-Town.
Chicago. Good evening.
So we're bringing to you, coming to you live on internet radio, Blog Talk Radio. And our call-in number is 646-716-9827. We're going to start off the show with our Declaration of International Black Summit. Henrietta, would you read that for us, please?
Yes, be glad to. The Declaration of the International Black Summit. We declare ourselves, our community, and all communities whole and complete. There is nothing to do except be. We assert that we are responsible for generating community as possibility and distinction. We listen for and grant being to the possibility and creation of unpredictable results. Our conversation of, about, and for those of African descent is one of power, self-generation, abundance, responsibility, unity, and integrity with the possibility of being. We stand for the expression of our spirituality, ending the needs of our men, women, and children, building economies responsible for funding our community, maintaining wellness of being in our bodies, providing human services, establishing nurturing relationships, altering the conversation of who we are in the media, empowering our youth. We declare that our community manifests itself in the world as a contribution in the transformation of the universe. Atlanta, Georgia, October 7, 1991, Chicago, Illinois, September 5th, 2010, Bronx, New York, September 5th, 2010. A moment of silence, please. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Henrietta.
I put you in the Bronx. I put you in the Bronx.
You put me in the Bronx tonight? Well, that's okay.
Right.
The Bronx is a good borough to be from.
Okay.
We're all pretty excited coming back from the annual event in Baltimore, Maryland, the beginning of August, and we're still enjoying the joy and the freedom from that event. We're going to be talking a little bit more about gardens, or kind of a follow up from what we did early in the year in terms of setting up the gardens. So we're going to be talking about closing them down. And what else, Henrietta? Anything?
We want to prepare. You know, we're preparing our spiritual gardens as well as our organic community gardens for the fall, and what that means. You know, so we're looking forward. We're in the declaration. Of course, you just heard it. So we're standing in the declaration, and we're also standing in what we're declaring this year, leaving Baltimore, which is be with what is. A great declaration that has already manifested many wonderful things in the expression of it. And when we talk about be with what is, we're talking about in the midst of whatever is occurring in your life, be with it. And be with it meaning feel it in all of the chaos that it might have, or all the happiness that it might have, or the love you might feel from it, or all the sadness you might feel from it. But be with it, because being with what is provides access into yourself in a way that you can manifest the possibility. So we're in that declaration, be with what is, coming out of Baltimore.
Excellent, excellent. And for those of you who are into organic gardens, so we're going to be with what's available in the garden and be with what is organic. And why organic is so important for us is the elimination of all the toxins. So we want to be able to eliminate and be with the elimination of those toxins from our body. So that's one of the importance of the organic garden. We've got a couple on the line of yours, Henrietta. Why don't you introduce a couple of your guests that are on live.
Okay. From the Chicagoland area, I'll say both of the guests are. And actually they're both singers. Now that I think about it, I didn't think about that before. But they are both wonderful singers as well as gardeners. One is from the south suburbs of Chicago, and one is from the South Loop of Chicago. And one is a master gardener and one has a community garden. And so I would love for everybody to meet and get to know first Wylietta and then Sheila. So good evening, Wylietta.
Hello, how are you?
Okay, so I keep everybody, I don't collapse everybody, but Wylietta is my dear friend who with the wonderful voice.
Okay.
And she has a community garden.
Mm-hmm.
And Sheila, are you there?
Yes, I am. Good evening, everybody.
Okay.
Good evening.
Good evening. And Sheila is another friend of mine with a wonderful voice. And Sheila is a master gardener. And if you could just take a minute and just tell us how you got into gardening. Sheila, let me start with you.
Thank you, Reverend Henrietta. I didn't get into it. Gardening got into me. I was brought up in the south suburbs, and my parents always had a garden, as so many other of the neighbors did. So I had no choice. I had to assist at an early age in whatever I was capable of doing at the time, and eventually helping in the spring to work the garden, till the soil, and prepare it for the upcoming year. And at this time of the year, I would probably be picking the grapes from the grapevine so my mom could start making jelly for the winter.
Mm.
Excellent, excellent.
Mm. What kind of grapes?
Actually, Concord grapes.
Concord.
We had a Concord grapevine in the back, and every year I didn't like it, but we had to pick all these grapes, and so everything was purple. Your fingers were purple, your hands were purple, all the utensils in the kitchen were purple because of the dye, and gnats everywhere because we were bursting all these grapes, picking them off the vines. So a lot of times she would go the kids would go to the orchard in the neighborhood, and we'd bring home green apples and red apples, and she would make some additional jellies with combinations of those, either the green and red and the grapes, or just the green and grapes. She'd make varieties of jelly like that.
That's great.
Did you guys make maybe a homemade wine?
My mother said that she tried to make it because my father had a friend that always made it every year, but hers it tasted like vinegar, so she gave that up.
Okay.
We just went to the Nathan's house every year.
Okay.
And Wiley?
Yes.
How did you get into gardening?
I have always loved growing things. My children said that I've always loved to play in the dirt. And I guess that's very true because as a little girl, I made my mud pies and my cake. Yes, so
okay.
I was always in the dirt. And so I've always had a garden of some sort everywhere, you know, I would live. And in moving from Oak Park about 4 years ago here to the South Loop, one of our sister churches needed someone to get the garden going, and I heard it, and, of course, I was drawn to it. And so for the last 4 or 5 summers, I have worked at the garden over on the west side of Chicago, and their beds for the gardening with, you know, various plants, herbs, tomatoes, string beans, those sorts of things. So that's how I am presently gardening and loving it, of course. Yeah.
I know.
I love it.
I know.
Mm-hmm.
So I want you all to meet Glenn. You know, you heard Glenn. Glenn is our host who opened the show.
Yes.
And he has a wonderful garden that I got a chance to see, even though it was, I think, March or April when I got a chance to see it, but he still was able to show me
okay. This
is here and that was there and, you know,
mm-hmm.
all of that. So, Glenn, would you share how you got into gardening?
Well, my experience was very similar to Sheila's in that
mm-hmm.
My mother was the gardener and I was the help.
Mm-hmm.
And,
okay.
You know, over the years, my mother's now 84 years old, and she still keeps an eye on me, but I've become the gardener, and she's the supervisor. So she comes in and still offers tips and suggestions as I prepare or harvest or during the season itself. So one of the things that is right now, I'm still affording all of the tomatoes. I still got lots of green tomatoes still coming up. So my garden is still going quite well. So I'm not in shutdown mode, except that I am still weeding and getting some of the things, some of the weeds out of the areas, so that when I do shut down, I can begin to chop the remaining vines and branches and actually use that as mulch. One of my neighbors, Portuguese woman, actually utilizes all of the stems of the plants that she hasn't that have been finished bearing. She chops them up and she puts together leaves and creates her own little organic fertilizer and has it sit over the winter, you know, the winter season. So that's one of the things that I highly recommend to not be wasteful. You could actually use that and turn that over into the soil as fertilizer for the future. You ladies, do you do that or something similar to that as well to shut down your garden for the winter?
Something similar, yes. Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
One of the other things go ahead.
One of the things is to remember to turn your mulch as it settles occasionally to rotate it. If it's in a drum, it's easier to turn it, but otherwise you need to just take a shovel or a hoe or a fork and to turn it. It does create a better mulch.
Absolutely. Yeah, they have those giant drums that actually make it very convenient. The lady that I'm speaking about actually has hers in a particular spot, and over the winter. So if we, you know, when we don't get snow, she kind of churns it up a little bit, but is really captivating and utilizing all of that every year to really create that organic texture and fertilizer for the next year.
Absolutely.
So tell me, you know, for the people like me, who, what is the purpose of mulch, and what is it?
Well, mulch is basically a group of dead leaves, dead vines, and you want the vines not to be too thick, preferably relatively thin and soft, so that they can actually decompose. And as nature has, all of that decomposing actually adds to the soil. So that's something that's very important for next year's soil, to add the fertilizer and add the nutrients. So you're putting back the nutrients into the soil
exactly.
that your plants have utilized.
Exactly.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. So would I be correct if I said, if I'm preparing my spiritual garden, okay, that I would take some of the belief systems, or take a look at them and see what I used this year, and the things that I don't need anymore, maybe the, like you say, the things that are no longer needed, I could take it and kind of clear it out of my consciousness.
Yes.
Yeah, and then say, as I prepare myself for something new in my life, I could take a little bit of it just to kind of remind myself of where I've been or where I may not want to go again. Is that a good analogy?
I think it's a great analogy, Henrietta. And also, when you're physically preparing your mulch, you want to make sure you don't use anything that had any type of disease or fungus in it, because that will affect the quality of your mulch. At the same time, as you're preparing your consciousness, you don't want to use anything. Actually, it's recycling the materials that you've had in your consciousness, the things that you don't need, then you don't want to add those tidbits. But the things that were good, you can reuse them.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, another way to look at it, you want to be able to allow the ground and or yourself some breathing time or some space for it to just rest.
Mm.
You know? And so it's important. Now, New York and Chicago, we actually have a very cold winter, and the cold winters are actually very good, because what happens is that cold winter kills diseases, infections, and so forth from growing further all year. So the cold is actually a change in the climate to cleanse, to cleanse and clear and clean. Now, places like Atlanta and down south, what they do is they actually look to, they have a summer garden and a winter garden. And so the winter garden would be more sturdy kinds of vegetables that they were looking to, would look to grow. So they may be growing like your collard greens and maybe cauliflower and broccoli, whereas their summer garden would be more of lettucey kinds of things and you know, softer vegetables, maybe squash and and things that require more water. So so it certainly is a time to look to create a space and a time of rest and to rest the soil and to and also to enrich the soil. It's a good time to put fertilizer down
mm-hmm.
and let it sit. Other people also do that in the spring, but you can also do that in the fall just to prepare the soil.
Soil. Mm-hmm.
I like to call it time to put the garden to bed. I've heard doctors say that it's very important for you to get proper rest when you're healing from something, and the best healing time is sleep. So we're putting the garden to bed, and it's resting, and it's going to be rejuvenated in the spring.
Absolutely.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
And just as we see the leaves falling from the trees, and in years past, we didn't always collect and get rid of the leaves. The leaves fall from the trees for a very specific purpose, and that is to protect the ground over the winter. And it's the same thing with our gardens. We have to prepare them, tend to them, and then let them rest over the winter.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
That makes so much sense. You know, when I think about that, the spiritual, you know, like things that we let go of and the things that, you know, the leaves falling to protect. When you say that, you know, how things occur.
Mm-hmm.
And they really can be for our protection so that we're conscious of things. You know?
Absolutely.
Let's speak closer to your mic because you're
okay.
Really
okay. Okay, I was saying, you know, I was just listening to Wiley when she says trees actually fall from the trees to protect the ground, and at one time we didn't clear them, you know, and get, you know, like rake the leaves and get rid of them. We let them stay, you know. And then it's interesting because in Chicago that happens a lot. When the leaves start to fall, usually you have a big fall of leaves on that first windy, cold day. And then it snows, so you can't even get to the leaves to pick them up.
That's right.
You know, and so not until the snow melts do you see all these leaves on the ground.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it's interesting how that happens, but let me just take a moment and say this is the International Black Summit Talk Show, and you're on tonight with your host, Glenn Greenwich from New York and Henrietta Bird from Chicago. And we're talking to our guests, Sheila Jones and Walietta out of Chicago. And we're talking about preparing your spiritual garden as well as your organic garden for fall. We're also asking that you call in and share about Baltimore, because you know everybody's still on fire about Baltimore. And if you have anything to share about being with what is, call in, and our call in number is 646-169-8827. And if you can't get in that number, you can call into the Oxygen Room and listen, and that number is 218-862-6420. And the access code is 797-4834#. And Jerry and Jill are in the Oxygen Room facilitating those calls. And then there's also a chat room if you want to, you know, send your questions or your comments in. You can send them through the chat line at blogtalkradio.com, International Black Summit Talk Show. So, Glenn,
we actually have a hand up.
Those
folks who are on the line already, and if they wish to be put on air, simply press 1, and we'll see a hand go up, and we'll know that you want to get yourself on air. Meantime, we've got Jerry put his hand on up in the oxygen room, and we're going to bring him on the line now. Go ahead, Derek.
There's somebody in the oxygen room. Anyone want to ask a question? You're connected to the show.
Okay.
Okay. You go right ahead, but I'll let you know.
All right. We'll come back to you, Jerry. Thank you, Jerry and Joe. Thank you for holding it down in the oxygen room. We've got a caller, 708-489. Go ahead, please. You're on the air.
Okay, I'm just calling to make a comment. I'm from Chicago, and good friends with Sheila and Henrietta.
Okay.
And the comment that I have to make is what they're talking about is very, very interesting, especially the analogy that was brought about connecting with the spiritual garden as well as the organic garden. It's something that I think a lot of us don't think about. And organic is a word that is very popular now. Wherever you go in the grocery stores, they have organic food. And it's something that is extremely interesting. But I found the analogy very, very interesting and very, very inspirational for me. And I thank you for that. And that's my comment. That's what I have to say.
Thank you, my friend. Thank you. I saw her lovely face today. Yeah.
And I will see you all later.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
All right. Thank you. You know, that's interesting. I'm glad she brought that up because, you know, when I think of organic, there's always this question about what organic means. You know, I do the produce stores regularly now, and there's this section for organic and vegetables and fruit, and then there's the other section.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm noticing at one time the organic fruit and vegetables were, they could be a dollar more a pound, dollar more a piece than the regular ones. And what I've been noticing lately is the prices are beginning to be very close. Is there a reason for that?
It depends on what you mean by organic, because everything in the stores that it's just a buzzword right now.
Mm-hmm.
It's very popular. It's a good sales pitch.
Mm-hmm.
But everything that's labeled organic is not necessarily free from all synthetic pesticides and that types of things. They have certain regulations here in the United States that are kind of, I think, pretty lenient. And it doesn't necessarily mean that there's no pesticides or no genetic modified plants or seeds. It's the same as the trans fats in the foods and things. They say no trans or zero trans. Doesn't mean that there's no trans fat in it at all. It's just below zero. Organic farmers aren't always organic farmers. It depends on how the rules are bent. But basically, we're talking about no pesticides, nothing synthetic, everything natural. And so the prices are, I think, based on just the term itself, not necessarily the quality of the items at this point.
Yeah, that's a very good point, because the word organic has been industrialized and really become somewhat of a misnomer. I liken it to the Rastaman that in the West Indies that advertises that all he does is cow and chicken dung is used for fertilization, and he's very clear about that, because one of the things that somebody brought to my attention, I was using Miracle-Gro. And he says, "Oh, that's Miracle-Gro. That's not organic." And I thought about it, and I said, oh, you know, you're certainly right, because they've got, you know, super, super duper stuff in it to make it grow faster and better and stronger and all that, and that's not natural. So if I'm using that, that's what's going into the plant. And so therefore, it's no longer organic. So really, for me, it's as you said, it's fertilizer. Cow dung is available. You can get it. Cow manure, you can get it in the sack, and anything other than just that would disqualify from being organic. Now I actually want to talk a little bit about the spiritual aspect of organic, because you do also hear people speaking about organic growth in organizations, organic growth spiritually, and organic in that sense, for me, means that it comes from within. So it's internal growth. It's not something from the outside. It's internal, and it's growth that is a more natural occurrence rather than coming from the outside. So I wanted to offer those two things up in the conversation organic.
That's interesting. I mean, that's really interesting, because that's the thing. You know, it's everything now. The focus is inside. It's an inside job.
Right.
You know, we have this distinction in the International Black Summit. There's no out there. You know, so everything is an inside job. So we're organic in our belief, according to you, Glenn, right?
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Okay. And my Rasta brother.
Okay.
My Rasta brother yells it out in the farmer's market, you know, and lets everybody know that here's the only two things that are being used in this garden. Everything else, you know, I don't know about anybody else. I can tell you mine is organic.
Okay, but you know, there's something else that I've noticed at the farmer's markets, or even at the at some of the different health fairs or nutrition classes and things that I'm hearing a lot now, is they ask you to shop with the farmers that are close by. Because they say, even if something says farm raised, but it's from far away, that it's not as healthy as something like in Chicago, there's Michigan and Wisconsin, you know, where you can get things, you know, really, really close. I mean, not close by. The farmers come from Michigan and they set up farmers markets in Chicago. So what's that about? You know, I mean, being close by, do they use things like preservatives or something if they come from, well, I guess Iowa would be close to us also, but let's say Ohio or something came two states over, would they have to put something on it to preserve it?
Well, you know, that's a great point. One of the things that there was actually a study made of around the world, and one of the things that got discovered is that people who go to regional markets actually are getting better fruits and vegetables because they're fresher.
Yeah.
You want to be able to get your fruit and vegetables off the vine, ripened on the vine and freshly picked, so that any long distance or long travel, they will create spoilage. And so if there is going to be travel, then they'd probably pick it a little earlier so that it would ripen on the way. That's what happens with our bananas and lots of the produce that we get in the stores, is that it's picked and its gas is sprayed to ripen on the way, but the true enzymes and the true benefit of the antioxidants and all of the benefit of the fruits and vegetables are when they're picked. You know, I love going out in my garden and picking a ripe tomato and popping it in my mouth, or a raspberry or a strawberry. You know, there's something about it ripened on the vine that has got the full potential.
Yeah.
Whereas, you know, most massive shipping and big shipping doesn't have that available to you.
The quality of the product is so much better with the freshness of it, the sooner that you take it from the vine. And bringing it in means you have to preserve it in some way to get it to market. So the sooner that you can get it from the market, the better for the product and the freshness of the product. Mm.
Mm-hmm. So go on.
I was thinking about the bananas. One of my things is, why are all the bananas not ready to eat when I want a banana in the store?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Most of them are very green,
mm-hmm.
and it takes a little, you know, a few days for them to ripen.
Mm-hmm.
And they overcharge, and then a lot of people don't even realize that they're eating food that is not ripe.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore, the full benefit, the full nutrition for your body is not there. A lot of people take the bananas because they're so accustomed to seeing green in the store or just pale yellow. They start throwing them out when they're speckled brown. When the speckles come on the skin is when you're supposed to eat the banana. Because that's
mm-hmm.
when the sugar conversion begins. And that's when your body can utilize what's in the banana.
Mm-hmm.
It can have many speckles on it, brown spots all over the skin, but when you open it, it's clear. And it's ready to eat. But I know so many people personally that throw the bananas out because the skin turned brown.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Right, right.
Well,
it looks like it's beat up or something.
Right.
Well, I'll give you an example for plantain. And if you notice or have gone to any of the Spanish or Caribbean restaurants, they serve the fried plantain.
Delicious.
And it's excellent. But I love it when it's very, very sweet. The outside looks like it's black. It looks like it's spoiled. But the truth is that that's when it's very richest in terms of sugar content. And it almost, when you take it out, it almost looks like a glazed look. You know, like how food that you're simmering on the fire has a kind of glazed
mm-hmm.
It's actually glazed over. So when I slice it and chop it, the thing is so sweet. It's incredible. And most people are throwing it out because they think it's rotten at that point in time. So absolutely right. It's important that we understand what the ripeness is supposed to look like and what's the right time to eat that particular fruit or vegetable, because each one has got its own maturity level. One of the things, I was in Hawaii with my mom this summer, and you know, we're in Hawaii, and so for me, the mangoes and the bananas and the papayas were in prime, just prime as compared to what I can get in New York. You know, the ones in New York are not as sweet, a little more sour. A mango, for example, doesn't have the red and yellowness. You know, it's mostly green in New York where we get it, and so we don't get a lot of the reds and the oranges and the yellows that really indicate the full ripeness. And again, part of it is because it's not being picked ripe on the vine, it's being shipped, and so it's ripening in the boxes en route. And of course, it doesn't get the full benefit of the nutrients that are available from it.
That's real interesting again, Glenn, because you know I'm looking at this spiritually, you know, and so what might appear on the outside to be someone who's tattered and torn could be someone, very, very possibly be somebody who's ripening, preparing, you know, preparing for the perfect time to bring their vision forth, you know. But we might look at them and on the outer, you know, and see one thing when actually something else is going on the inside, and something else was said about when the speckles, you know, like I looked at those as bruises because that's what I thought they were, you know, on a banana. But there's, you know, there's speckles, and she says that's when the sugar starts to do its thing, you know.
That's the conversion. That's the conversion into fructose, which your body can utilize.
Mm-hmm. Right. And so I'm just looking at, you know, how these little nicks and little bruises that we get, you know, in life are preparing us, you know, for different things so that we can, you know, we can be ready for due season, as they say, in due season, you know.
Well,
but once again, go right ahead.
Well, one of the things that you point to and it's being pointed to is to look underneath the cover, you know. So you really want to not judge someone by their outward appearances or what you happen to see, but really get in underneath the cover to find out what's inside and what's really available, because you might find the perfect fruit for you. We've got somebody in the oxygen room. Go ahead, go oxygen room, Jared.
Yeah, if there's anybody want to say anything about what we're talking about?
Can people hear?
Yes, we can hear you.
Yeah, we can hear.
Go ahead, it's Grace. It's Grace. I just thank you for the conversation. Just a couple of thoughts that I had about it, and that was one of the things that's been happening here, again, has been a focus on local produce, and something you may have talked about it before I joined, the 100-mile diet, where people focus on consuming only those fruits, vegetables, and other foods that are attainable and grow or are raised within 100 miles of where you live. And so that would mean in Canada, no tropical fruits, no wines from France, you know, all of that kind of thing. And the purpose of it, from what I understand, is one, to actually have the freshest foods and foods that have the most nutrients available to you, but also to actually reduce dependence on foreign oil, given that the foreign oil industry, the petroleum industry, actually transporting foods around the globe then contributes to dependence on foreign oil. And so that's a reason behind it. And so really in terms of looking at reducing that dependence on foreign oil and moving towards sustainable societies, this whole notion of the 100-mile diet is something that a number of people have looked at here in Canada, and I think the originators were out in British Columbia and that kind of thing. And the other thought that I had in terms of looking at some tropical fruits like bananas and plantains and mangoes and that kind of thing, particularly as somebody who's Caribbean background, is that we eat those foods at all times of their cycle.
Jackie
has arrived.
Yeah, go ahead, Jackie. Keep going, Jackie.
Sorry. Yeah. So when bananas are green, we consider them to be a starch and not a fruit. And so we will boil them and eat them like a potato. And it's still providing, you know, the nutrients that are available at that level. And then when it's ripe and yellow, we'll eat it like a banana. And then when it's brown and spotted, we'll cook with it and make, you know, whatever, banana bread or banana drinks, that kind of thing. So, and similar with plantain, although plantain will always have to be cooked, whether it's green or ripe. So, you know, fruits and vegetables have nutrients at all of their
has left the conference.
Yeah, keep going, Jackie.
So those are just, so yeah, so that's it. Those are just some of the thoughts that came to my mind as everyone was talking about the produce and eating locally.
Yeah, you're really again speaking to that whole regional market conversation,
right.
In that the regional folks around the world who are getting their fruits and vegetables regionally are actually the most healthiest on the planet because of that. Because it's ripened on the vine and they're eating it in a locale that is close to where it's being grown, and it's providing the best health value that's available. So yeah, absolutely, absolutely.
Yeah, that's really really interesting. Because as Jackie was speaking, and Jackie's in
Toronto. Hello? We looks like we lost Henrietta, are you there?
I'm here.
Okay. I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you. Yeah.
Okay. Right. I was just saying as Jackie was speaking, and she was like, you eat the fruits and vegetables, you know, like year round, and they do have value in whatever state they're in, you know, whatever condition they're in. You just do different things with them. And I thought about that, you know, at a spiritual level, that's right on, because,
right.
You know, there are times when you are, there are times when, you know, you're active, there are times where you rest, there are times where you're teaching, and there are times where you're learning about yourself. And so much of what Jackie shared was about us, you know, and that we're valuable at whatever state we're in, we really are. They're just times that we do things differently. Yeah. One other thing, Glenn, is right before you went to the oxygen room, while Lietta was getting ready to make a statement, do you still have it, Riley?
Let me see if I can regain it, Henrietta.
Okay.
Thank you so much. It may have something to do with, and even this conversation that we're having now, of spiritual growth and plants. Everything grows within and without, and what we may not see happening on the inside, it is still going on. And the same with the plants. The tomatoes ripen in the dark, and much of our growth is happening in the dark while we're resting. And it may not be apparent on the outside, but it is still taking place. So that's maybe some of the thought that I was thinking before the, the caller came on, and I hope that it did come out in a intelligent manner, even though.
Yes, it did.
But afterthought.
It did. Thank you. And Jackie, thank you for that. This is the International Black Summit Talk Radio, and you're on with Glenn Greenwich from Queens, New York, Henrietta from Chicago, Illinois, and in the oxygen room is Jerry from Brooklyn, New York, and Jill from Atlanta, Georgia. And we are so happy to have them with us also in the oxygen room, and everyone who's listening or who will listen at another time. Please remember to go to blacksummit.org, our website, and see what's going on. Our next gathering is in Baltimore. We're going back to Baltimore one more time in the month of October, the weekend of October 8th. And that's a leadership body meeting, and I think there is a prerequisite scheduled or a summit share that weekend. So please go to blacksummit.org and join us. In Baltimore. Get the information that you need. See where you are in the declaration of the International Black Summit, as well as share with us how much you enjoyed and what you've been doing with the declaration since you left Baltimore. We're really interested in hearing how things are moving along with your life. And also, we invite you to be a contributor. We want to take this program premium, and so we're asking for your donations. If you go to blacksummit.org, you can also see how you can contribute to this talk show being premium.
Has left the conference.
Okay, which just simply means we'll be able to handle more calls, you know, which gives us more questions and just gives us a broader, you know, broader range to reach people globally. Glenn, back to you.
Thank you. Thank you so much. We come to you live every Sunday from 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and the show is for an hour. We do have some folks in the chat room as well. We've got a chat room that's available. As well as the phone lines. And again, we're looking to increase the number of phone lines so that we can have lots and lots more conversations about the International Black Summit and what we're about. And we've got a hand up, 773-752. Go ahead, you're on the air.
Yes, hello, everyone. I got disconnected for about 10 minutes. I did want to make a comment, so I hope I'm not too late and not repeating something that someone has already said. I wanted to comment on the 100-mile diet.
Sure, and, go ahead, please.
Right, and one of the other things that I've learned in the last couple of years that's so significant about that is that if we do try to purchase local, if we all make an effort to do that, the larger, the broader markets like the Whole Foods and the Jewels and the Dominics will eventually start patronizing these local farmers more because they want us back and they want us to stay in their stores. So that's something I would like the listeners to just be aware of as well, that not only does it have a global effect, but it has a very immediate neighborhood effect, and there's been a lot of talk in Chicago about the lack of produce markets and quality grocers in minority areas, and this is one way that we could kind of encourage that on an individual basis. That was one comment. And the second comment was just in general, even though the whole organic movement
has arrived.
I think what I was saying is that since the organic, it does seem to be a buzzword. But I really am encouraged by the younger generation's embrace of a more holistic approach to life in general, specifically the way they're eating. We hear a lot about childhood obesity, and I think that it is running rampant, but I think there's an age group between, say, 20 and 35, and I think that these young people have really got a better feel than we did when we were coming up as to what's important, how important it is to watch what you put inside your body. You know, they're more water conscious, more fruit and vegetable conscious, more exercise conscious. So that was just a comment I had. I'm very encouraged about that.
As we should be as a people and as a race, because we have had the highest health problems. And, you know, it's interesting when you think about it, if you consider that we've had to deal with the worst, the leftovers, the scraps from the table to survive on, and we've been able to survive on that. However, now that we have more and more choices, we haven't always moved to those better choices. And so what you're pointing to is the consciousness and the understanding of the importance of eating healthy and what that's going to provide us for the long term, because it really is something that we're passing on to the younger generations. Even if we're not conscious of it, it is being passed on, those eating habits and that consciousness, and it's important that we can provide some leadership in that conversation.
Yeah.
Hey. This is Sheila.
Mm-hmm.
I just wanted to remind people, if they haven't already done so, to take pictures of your gardens, to make notes about your sunlight, shade, what did well. Take pictures of what didn't do well so you don't repeat that. And collect some of the seeds of the things that you really liked for next year.
Oh, that's very good, very good. The other thing that I want to piggyback on that is to make sure that you rotate your garden. You know, just like the big farmers do, you want to move it around. So if you've grown tomatoes in this particular spot for the last 2 years, look at moving it to another spot. Be conscious of what those tomatoes would need in terms of light. But also to be conscious of that kind of rotation and movement and planning of your garden. So you really want to look at how to plan and to be able to put things together. And some people actually put marigolds, flowers, in the vegetable garden to use that as a natural pesticide to keep out insects, because they don't like the smell of that. So those are some of the things as we're beginning to wrap up this session, to be conscious when you're looking to plan your garden. And it's not too early to be planning for your garden now.
That's right.
Waleta, do you have like a closing remark?
That would be it, that it's not too early to start planning for next year and how you want to place things, some of the seeds you want to keep, and where you're going to place things. Yes, that would be
that's great. Great. Excuse me. I was just saying that spiritually, I think all of that fits. You know, take pictures in your mind of what worked for you this season and what didn't work, so you don't repeat it. You know, look at the things that you want to move forward with and the things, you know, that you don't want to move forward. Put something different, you know, switch things around, like what you focus most of your attention on. Maybe you need to put something else there and not as much attention on something that you really put a lot of attention in. So I think we can utilize all of this information for ourselves as well as our garden. Let me give the the oxygen room. We continue this conversation for 30 minutes, and the number is 218-862-6420. 218-862-6420. The access number is 797-4834-pound. 797-4834-pound. Once again, 218-862-6420.
And we want to thank all of our guests for calling in. We're no longer streaming. Had a great show. Thank you for participating and making it a wonderful experience for all our listeners out there in the International Black Summit Talk Show land.
Thank you. It's an honor and a privilege.
You're very welcome. You're very welcome.
Thank you all.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
And we'll hear everyone in the oxygen room.
All right.
The oxygen room. Peace and blessings, everyone. Good night.
Good night.